This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Mandy Welskoff, who during her near-death experience had God speaking to her telepathically, which we're going to learn about and more. Mandy, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing.
Well, Mandy, let's start on the day that you died and go from there.
It was the 4th of July. I believe it was in 2002. I'd gone out to the lake with a fellow veteran of mine that I met in a 30-day program we'd just gotten out of, trying to get myself together after the military. I came out with, you know, just the things that come along with the military life. It's true. So we went out to the lake, and I had a couple bottles of wine with me, a handful of some Vicodin, and proceeded to party pretty hard. Everybody was getting ready for bed, and I kind of felt like getting in a physical altercation with someone, so I did that. After I was thrown to the ground, I made my way to the restroom, and everybody was kind of, it was getting kind of dark, and I decided it was a good idea to go skinny dipping. I just wasn't done. So I walk from the bathroom towards the shore area where you get in with your boats. It's not a very, there's no tents around. There's a utility light, and it was, you know, kind of back off the shore. And then some boats were parked. So I was on the other side of the boats. I remember getting in the water, taking off my suit, and kind of floating there. And I've been really trying to go back to this time in my life and remember. And it's not that we don't remember correctly. It's just that after you begin your healing journey and can go back to these things, or however you get here and want to share. For me, it was this way. I had to really heal and think about where I was mentally when I went into that water. And I realized that I think that I wanted to die. I didn't really care if I lived at that point. That's just where I was in that time of my life. And so I can't say that I blacked out either. I remember just going under the water. And I remember letting go, like my body just let go. And I started to go under, but I could still see the shore, and I could see the shape of these two men in a chair fishing. And I don't know if I hid from them. I don't know if they didn't see me, or, you know, I do know that I recognized that they were there. But at that point, I feel like I came out of my body. And it was almost like I was a spectator. I was watching what was happening. I was just kind of looking at my body going down. And the next thing I know, it is the most incredible pain I've ever felt in my life on my chest. I don't know what they were doing, punching me, whatever they were doing to get me to start breathing. And in between watching my body go under, there was a gap. And then I came back to my body. This is what I'm realizing. I left three times. So I'm laying there, and they roll me over to my side, and I'm spitting out this water. And I remember them screaming at me, cussing at me, breathe now, and slapping me. And I didn't want to breathe. I just didn't. And maybe I didn't want to, but I don't think that I could, because I remember taking this breath in and it stopped. And then all of a sudden, I was over my body. I was not in my body. It was just my consciousness. Almost like when you're talking to yourself, it's like you're kind of It's that core soul of you. I saw the whole scene. I saw a black square, and I saw an ambulance to the left, and then I saw people. I saw the water. I even saw the light. I saw everything. And then I feel like I was in a dark place. And it was a distance to get to where I ended up meeting God. And it almost felt like I was traveling with the helicopter. They care flight at me. I was in Possum Kingdom and they didn't have the capability to take care of me. But it was almost like I was moving. I could feel myself moving through space, through the air. I was following my body in this helicopter. And then I went into, it's like a pearl, like this, almost like the yellow background here. It was, I know now that I was inside of God. It was me and him. We were together. And he was speaking to me telepathically. There was no need for words. And I told him everything I was feeling. And it was almost like I told him everything I was feeling at one time. It's just like all the thoughts went. But, you know, he really already knows these things. So he was already sending me back down. I mean, I was hard-headed. So it was like almost like he had his arm around me, like, come on, like, it's not time yet. Let's go. Come on. And I'm looking down and I wasn't even fighting, but I was just like, kind of like, I was mad. I didn't want to stay there. I didn't want to go back. And then I wake up. It was like I was thrown back into my body. It was like bam. And I was just, my eyes opened. And the first thing I remember was the breathing tube, breathing for me. And I look over my dad's. He's holding my hand and he's got his head down. And to my right is a Catholic priest with a Bible. And he's got the beads and he's reading, I'm not sure what it's called, right? My rights. And with this rosary and just counting these beads. And then I see my pastor from my church in the back with a Bible pacing the floor, pacing the room. And then I look over to my right and there's a big tank of water. There was, I don't know, 2 quarts of lake water that they pulled out of my lungs. I could not believe I was back. So I don't know how many days I was in the ICU. It was so painful to be back. I've heard different stories and stuff, but I was just like, what the hell? I was tired. And having gone through so many things already in my life, I couldn't leave this earth if I tried. Because I have a purpose, and that is to relay what's happened in my life and to share it with you. So the young lady that saved my life, I don't know how it happened, but she came to see me. It was obviously, and you know, apparently quite a traumatic event for many people. I mean, everybody at that campsite saw it. It was the 4th of July, so you can imagine how many people saw. She came in the room and she didn't really say much to me. She looked at me like she was looking at a ghost. I was dead. And she sat down in the chair and started crying immediately. I don't, you know, it's kind of fuzzy, but at least I feel like you can trust your memory in certain situations. And I remember, I at least felt her energy. It was sadness for me. A disbelief that she was there at that time to save me. And I had the urge to tell her I saw what happened. And she didn't even let me finish. She stood up and covered her mouth and just walked out. She had somebody with her and they put their arm around her and she walked out crying. because there's no way that I would have known that. No way that I would have known any of it. And so for me, I know I can't, I'm sure millions of people, their fear is drowning. And another question of life in general is, what are we here for? Why? Why? I don't understand. You know, we're good in our core and our soul when we hurt, when other people hurt. What are we here for? And there's some things we'll never understand. I do know one thing, and that's okay, Bob. This is all that I know. Because that makes it okay, and I can get through another day. And I can not only get through another day, I can share and give these nuggets of freedom for deliverance from the fears that we have in this life. Is that God is with us from beginning to end. He's standing at the edge of our lives like a memory. We're already with him. Like he's there in our dying moments. And I wasn't intoxicated enough where I couldn't feel anything. I felt all of it. But when I died, when I started to go into pain in that drowning moment, because I'm sure that was painful, I didn't feel any of it. And I wasn't scared at all. I was like, hey, what's next? It was, God is there in our dying moments. And if we've had a loved one that has drowned, and you've had I watched my grandmother die of cancer. And I was so mad at God because she was the one, a magical person. And in my mind, he let her die of this horrendous thing. But I'm here to tell you that when you are dying or being tortured or any of these things, God takes you away. He takes us away. He's there with us. He's right next to us, and we're not experiencing that in our physical. We can see it and we're aware of it, but it doesn't hurt, and I wasn't scared. So it's caused me to understand that I don't have to live in worry. It's a choice, because we're all sent here for a reason.
You mentioned that you were inside of God. Can you expand on that?
I fell in love with God when I was very young. I grew up in Cedar Hill, and we had property, and it was gorgeous, woods and a pond, and we were very poor, but I had outside, and that's where I met God. And I went through some things as a kid. I was abused by so many people, and I suffered from debilitating anxiety from a very young age. But there was never a point that I got to where I didn't feel God's presence. And it's almost like when you, if you've had the experience, a spiritual experience, and you can absolutely have one if you ask for it. That's how I got mine. You have to be willing and open to experience those kind of things, and it will happen. It's a space. I don't know if I can explain it. it was like I was seeing what God was seeing. And it was, he was everything. He was all of it. He was every color and shape. And there was no, it was almost like I'm up here and I'm looking down on everybody else, and he's going, all right, well, you know, this is what's next. And it was just a hug. It was, imagine the warmest hug that you've ever felt, the kind that you could, your body just, you forget that you have a body almost. You can relax that much. Getting into a position in bed where you can find that position where you're so comfortable and you don't feel any pain. It's just, you just are. And it was 100% love and acceptance. It was still a space, but there were no bounds, there were no boundaries. And I didn't feel like it was just me and him. I felt like it was all of heaven. I didn't get to see much because I really was just there for mere seconds. And, you know, I've heard people's stories of spending time and going through, you know, dialogue and different scenes and things like that. Mine was very, very quick because, I don't know, maybe I would have convinced them to let me stay.
In the beginning, you kind of mentioned that you wanted to die. And you just said basically that you can have your own spiritual experience. So are you saying that you wanted to have this NDE?
No, I just wanted to die. I know now that you can, if you open yourself to God, you know, you can experience things that, you know, healing and deliverance and all those things. I didn't even consider going to God at that point. I didn't know where I was going to go, and I really, truly didn't care. I was very miserable. I was deep in my addiction and had gone through some pretty, really traumatic things, incredibly traumatic things, and never, you know, got the healing that I needed. And I just drank it away. Whatever I could do to escape my reality, I would do it. I didn't want to be here. It was too much.
What did God tell you?
It was like he took at that time all the experiences that led me up to being so desperate to not be on this earth. It was almost like I thought of it in all of these things and I gave it to him, and he took it. He took that, which allowed me to keep going. And when I came to my body, although I wasn't happy to be there, things started changing. That was the catalyst to get me into AA.
After your NDE, did you notice that you had any new abilities that you didn't have prior?
Oh boy. You betcha. Absolutely. Yeah, sorry if my screen just went out. Yes, absolutely. We hear a lot of talk about being an empath. I guess that's the description. I feel like there, you know, I went to church growing up and studied the Bible, and I know a lot of the Bible. I know a lot of things more than I give myself credit for. And I guess, hold on, I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. I'm having a blank moment. There's just so much information coming in. Okay, so.
Well, are any of your abilities psychic-like?
You know, and I'm growing up, I just have to give this disclaimer if I'm wrong, and God will correct me on this. Yes, if you want to call it that, absolutely. Yes, premonitions, visions, but these things are all biblical. You know, so many stories of people in the Bible, prophets, that stuff isn't dead. And God is in the business of miracles. I mean, I'm talking about miracles. And the reason why we pray for certain things and give witness to people for those prayers is so that when they happen, it can grow their faith. So yes, I've saved my own life. I was heading to my friend's house at night, driving to Arkansas. And for whatever reason, a word came in my mind and it triggered a reaction that I was doing on another drive at night. And I was honking my horn in these areas where it's dark to deter the deer. I was afraid of getting hit by a deer. And something came into my head. It was like a vision, a word, the Holy Spirit. I honked my horn and I looked to the right, and there was a gigantic deer that was right about to run in front of our car. Really gonna, that we wouldn't have made it. I've had messages from my friend's loved ones, you know, I've had counselors in my life and coaches in my life that we've studied the Bible together. And I want to know if this stuff is from God, then let it be true. You know, let me know for sure. I don't want to be confused. But I can sense spirits. I saw the devil when I was a child, me and my cousin. I saw the enemy. He came up out of the floor. And there was no way that I could just imagine that. We both saw it. It was terrifying. And then I saw a ghost when I was 10 years old. My friend's dad died, and I was spending the night at her house. And he walked in the living room and sat down in the chair, and I could describe what he looked like to her. I wasn't scared. I was just like, why are you showing me? Like, what is this? The house that I just recently moved out of, there were tons and tons of people there, spirits. The boy next door killed himself, and he came to me and told me his name. So, yeah. Yes, I have strong feelings of when there's danger. Like I said, I've saved my own life. Driving, I've prevented myself from dying in accidents. I can't tell you how many times.
If you compare the reality of that side to this one, which one would be more real and which one would be dreamlike?
It's parallel. There's so many different dimensions. It's just as real as this. This where we are. You know, people say we're living in the Matrix. It's still real. But we're not dealing with flesh. We're dealing with spirits, the enemy. It's absolutely real. 100% real. However, this is what I believe. When you are protected by God and you ask him, hey, protect me. I love you. Like, come into my life. It's as simple as that. You know, we want to put all these rules and these things, you know, who knows what was added to and taken from literature. And, you know, this is when I finally got sober, and I'm talking about miraculous events that got me and led me to a place, things that don't make any sense of how I was given money out of nowhere to get myself on my feet. So I could tell these stories, so I could bear witness to other people's, you know, souls. There's just so much coming in.
What do you mean so much coming in? Like energetically, like a download, yeah, or just memories?
Downloads, memories, things I want to share. All these times I've rehearsed my story in my head of how God has provided for me in miraculous ways. It was just, they were too specific and miraculous. It's like I specifically asked God for something to happen, and it happens. These things happen so we can tell other people.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, goodness. So I was in a terrible abusive relationship, and I was trying to get sober again. It took me 20 years to finally get 6 years of sobriety. I was trying to get sober, and he wouldn't stay sober. My dad came over and called me up a couple days later, and I was so numb and wasn't even praying anymore. Yeah, I sing and I write music, and I'm very creative, and the whatever force it is, the enemy trying to keep me down, only made my story stronger. But my dad comes over, and he sees the condition of my house and that he's drunk and I'm trying to stay sober. He calls me up and he says, you doing all right? And we hadn't really had a relationship because I was living in turmoil, and he couldn't support what I was doing. You know, he just couldn't watch it anymore. So you got, as a parent, I was putting up boundaries. He called me and he said, you know, you're not doing all right. And he said these words, and it changed my life forever. It completely changed the course of my life. We speak things, they're energy. Yes, it's all energy. It's just so much to it. It's so beautiful. He said, Mandy, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to do the next right thing. You're going to get sober. You've got to pray for God to provide a way out. And that's what I did. And in the Bible, there is a story. I believe, I don't know if it's Paul or not, please forgive me. He crumbled and fumbled in front of everybody. And God set him back up on top of this hill, just like nothing happened. Just nothing happened. I got hit by an 18-wheeler, another attempt on my life by the enemy. I got hit by an 18-wheeler, and he drug me underneath his car and hit the divider at 70 miles an hour, spun back into traffic. I entered into a lawsuit, and the lawsuit tarried. it carried over for way too long. I didn't understand why, but I understood at the very last moment when I didn't have, let me back up. My dad said it would happen. I got really, really drunk and I got kicked out of the house. I was homeless. I went to the VA. I didn't have anywhere to go. I bounced around from place to place. And right at the very last day, I had nowhere to go. I'm standing at the VA. And I told God I would go wherever he wanted me to go. And in the course of me being homeless, I was tempted with drugs and alcohol and I turned it down. Stayed sober. I didn't want to do it anymore. And this is right after my dad called me and he told me that things were going to work out. He's going to provide this way. And this is just, it was just a terrible situation. I was kept from my kids and CPS was called and it was terrible. Godsey Martin sent me an Uber, picked me up, fronted me a check for $5,000. I retained an attorney for custody for my child. I went through the deposition. I got a car off of Craigslist that day, drove to Cedar Hill, asked God what he wanted me to do. I got a hotel room. I got up in the morning. I got a job at IHOP. With that cash, I got an apartment. And that later on that day, I picked my child up from school. Like nothing ever happened. I've been sober since then.
That's great.
I had money left over for bills and I started getting my life together. Amazing.
What inspires you about your NDE?
That it inspires me to know that I don't have to stay in worry. And there's things that we can do to release our trauma so that we can be our authentic self. That God is there in every single moment. And that's what I get so mad about. And about, I think a lot of us get mad about, like, why is all this suffering? If you're a loving God, why do you allow these horrific things to happen? You know, child trafficking, my God, you know, this is enough to make anybody mad and not want to believe. I mean, that would turn me off if I wasn't, you know, didn't have these experiences, God got a hold of me. But he's there in our moments, in our very scariest, most deepest, darkest moments. He is there. He's there with us. He never leaves us, never.
What things can we do to release our trauma?
I started stretching my hips. And I mean, really deep, deep, deep somatic stretching. So I looked up some videos on YouTube, just a few positions. And I've been practicing and I'm going to master those positions. I also, you know, giving up alcohol and just asking God to do it for you. We want to get these journals and we want to do this and we want to do that. Here's the truth. It's between, and this is what happened. This is what God has spoken to me audibly. When I got kicked out and I was going back and forth before I got my apartment, he told me, he said, Mandy, this is between you and me. And it was, I had to look around the room to see if anybody was there in there with me. It is between you and God. There's nothing in between. You don't have to go to a pastor or your friends or anybody else. It's just you and him. And he will show you. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Has the memories of this experience faded over time?
No. Not at all. The way that I internalize it and the shame has come off, because for so long I just carried the shame of, oh, you know, you drank and you did this and look at you. And God removed that shame. I asked him to remove it. He removes it. He just takes those things from you. Yeah, my brain just keeps getting, it's almost like I get stuck on the visions of what happened. But I remember, now that I'm healing, I know why it happened, is so that I can tell you and whoever else needs to hear that, and this can stand in the way of you healing and even and allowing God to love you and love, you know. He's there. He doesn't let you feel that pain. You don't feel, you're a spectator, really. And what we see here, you suffering, you in pain, and you, you know, And even though the physical body, we may say, we may cry, of course, you know, all these things reacting to this pain, but your spirit is with God. And he's right there with you.
A lot of people pray, and it appears that their prayers are not answered. Why is that?
No answer is an answer. And the answers, my prayer was for my grandmother not to die of cancer. You know, there's very, very unfair situations in my life. The message, my near-death experience is the message that I want everybody to hear. You know, we see these things that are happening in our lives as traumatic. And there, you know, some, you know, behave in certain ways to rent, you know, to get these consequences, but a child dying and drowning, you know, these, all these terrible things. He still is there. He still gives you comfort. It's so hard to speak to situations that I don't know about, but I know about mine. And I know about unfair situations that I still have to live with. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. But it's between me and God. And God and these people who are sick or whoever my loved ones, they're not mine. They're God's. Some things we don't really have to understand. Some things we won't understand. And it really is, I guess, when it all boils down to it, a letting go. Sitting with that pain, talking about that pain, sharing that pain, helping somebody else through that pain, building that community with people of support. And, you know, we go through these things and we want to isolate. And I know that I did for sure. But, it causes us to go outside of ourselves. And who knows who else hears that story that can keep going for another day? Just one more day, because they know that you're also going through that. And it's how you live through it. You know, I used to see these women. I'm just giving you an example. I would see women. To me, it always reminded me of earth and home. They smelled like patchouli, long dresses on, and, you know, fanny packs and gardening and just smelling like outside and really loving trees and stuff. And not being bothered. I wanted to get there, and I am there. Well, not all the way, of course, but it's these, the things we go through that God takes us through, brings us closer to him. That's the purpose. We don't ever die. Our spirits don't die.
I guess then you don't fear death at all.
Before you and I had this set up, and I feel like it's the result of my, you know, really drinking a lot more water and just doing all the things that really are good for you. I had a couple of really, I mean, intense, overwhelming deliverance sessions with God. It was like a life review. I went back through all of these things, and it was like a real fast flash of all these scenes of my life. And he was just standing like showing me, like, see the, how I was there. You see how I was there. You see how I worked all that out. You see all the people that you told about. You see all the people that are watching you now. This is all for a reason. You knew it when you were a kid. My head keeps getting just overwhelmed.
I think it's fascinating that you just said you knew it when you were a kid.
Yes. I knew. God called me when I was young. We had a meeting on this hill. I would go outside and we would have meetings on the hill. I knew it. I was going through, I was being abused, and I couldn't, for whatever reason, I didn't tell my parents. It went on for years. And I remember standing and having this, he talked to me, still talks to me, talked to me then. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing. it was like he said, okay, you realize now what you're going to be doing. And I remember I just remember thinking to myself as I was growing up, I'm going to be that person for that little girl that needs to, I'm going to be that face, that voice for that little girl, young girl, you know, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, my age, whoever needs to hear. That you can, you're going to be okay. Going to be okay. God knows your pain. He's right there with you. He was there every time it happened. And it's not your fault. And you didn't ask for it. It doesn't make you a bad person. I knew then that I would be telling stories. I had no idea stories like this. I thought it would just be about my being sexually assaulted and abused. I mean, by so many people. And what it did to me as a woman, and what it did to my mind and in my view of love and people and everything in the whole world was skewed by, you know, but I still knew the truth. I still had a hope. I went through so many times of, I tried to kill myself. I tried to cut my wrists and I just could not do it. I just could not kill myself. So I know that, well, I guess I God knew and obviously was kind of walking me through life. All right, here we go. Okay. Dusting me off, put me there. And so it's just amazing to me that every time, every wrong that I've done, he's brought it around for me to have a testimony story for people who saw me when I was in my wilderness. To see me now, it's all for his glory. Your story is all for his glory. Your story is going to help somebody else come up out of that shame of abuse or whatever it looks like. I've got it all. Anxiety, OCD. I don't claim to have those things. That's how my brain, you know, is. That's where your brain goes when you have trauma, and there's ways to rewire that. So it is possible, and it is available, and it is for everyone. Healing is for everyone, and there's ways to do it. And I feel like now I've got this calling to share how I've done it. So let's just open up a whole nother category.
If you had a friend that was grieving over the loss of a loved one, what kind of advice would you give?
They are not gone, and you will see them again. They're here. Energy doesn't go away. God says that we have eternal life. So that can mean so many things, you know. He's limitless. My grandmother showed, I wondered for so long. I felt like I had never seen her. I like wondered really, truly, why she never came to me. And the truth is that she comes to me almost every night in my dreams. I'm one of those that lucid dreams. I could go to different places. I have recurring dreams, and my son can do it too. He can control his dream. He knows he's dreaming. He can go to a certain direction, or if he doesn't like it, he can wake up. Your loved ones are not gone. They're here. They're just as much here with you as you and I are. They've just left the physical realm. They're not gone. And when I really finally got that in my spirit, man, I was driving down the highway, and don't get me wrong, I grieve for my grandmother. I was really close with my grandmother's. Very painful loss for me, but I feel like I remember her so much is because God wants me to live like she did. So anyway, I realized that I would spend eternity with her, and that she's already, you know, it's not over. Oh, so I kept asking to see my grandmother. I wondered why she didn't come to me. Like some people say that they see certain things or what, you know, signs, birds, you know, whatever. And I was dreaming of her, and I was going back to her house where I grew up and spending time with her. And I remember at one point in 2020 when we were going through this whole thing and I got COVID, and I'm telling you, my organs were shutting down and I lost my job and I was so sick. And I just didn't understand. I just could not understand life at all, you know, in any sense. her favorite bird is a hummingbird and butterflies. It's a common thing, but it's just, that's what I remember of my grandmother always. Sitting in my car and I'm having a complete meltdown. Thoughts of suicide, just lost, empty, like still don't understand. I look out my car window, there's a hummingbird right at my window looking at my face, like right there. And then a butterfly lands right next to it. So the signs are there. You just have to look for them. And grief is a process. There's no time limit on it. However, there are things that you can do to move through those things. And they really are stuck in your body. Everything is energy.
Do you feel like the other side is right here with us, but it's just in a frequency that we can't see it?
Yes. How can it not? I mean, I may be wrong. Like I said, I don't want to be fooled by anything, but yes, how can it not be? You know, we're all it's all one. It's all one. We are all one. We are made of the materials from the planets in outer space. And that's why our words are so powerful. That's why sharing these kind of things are so powerful, because it changes lives. And it's all energy. What you speak out, what you give out is what you receive. And that's why God gives us this instruction book to live by. You know, I questioned the Bible. I questioned a lot of things. I really, truly was so close to walking away from everything that I'd grown up to know. And God kept bringing me back. He's like, it's between me, you and me. We're going to take out the middleman. We're going to take out all the other stuff. What are you worried about? And who said what in church and this and all that and TikTok and all these things that we see. We're not going to get it from scrolling. We're not going to get it. We're going to get it by spending time with him, meditating, being in his presence, praise and worship. And it can mean so many things. You know, your love language with God is what you cultivate with him.
So what do you think the point is of coming here and experiencing the earth?
I just don't know. I was getting to that one today. I've had so many revelations and these coming out of these bondages and soul ties, breaking these soul ties. And I'm telling you, I mean, it was the whole shaking, the stuff that some of this stuff is true. I mean, really, I it was physical. I was shaking this stuff out of me, soul ties and everything. Dude, I did it again. Oh my gosh. What was the question? I want to make sure that I answer it right. I get off on my own.
That's okay. What's the point of coming here?
Oh, that, the whole point. I can tell you when you truly let go, when you allow God to really, and it takes obedience. We want to know how we get to a place where we're this close with God. That's really, truly up to you and your obedience and what he puts it. It's already in us. You know, we're his creation. So there's no separation. He created us in his image. So it's in there. You got to tap into it and all the things that happen to us. Take us away from a beautiful experience in relationships. It's relationships with people. Good and bad. You know, we see all these bad. There's nothing new under the sun, by the way. You know, I believe God coming back for his children. I'm still learning about what I really believe here internally. I've got a lot of lies to work through that have been kind of instilled in my head, you know, and just with society and whatever we've all learned. The purpose is to have that absolute 100% sitting in front of him experience in your life. It's beautiful. And you can be going through hell. You can be going through some of the worst stuff in your life, but you don't have to lose your peace. We are sent here to help others. And again, the purpose, we're heavenly beings having an earthly experience is what all I could think of. Because if we leave, if I left my body and I went to have a spiritual experience, one comes from the other, right? So we would probably be coming from this spiritual realm down to this physical realm. There's a master plan behind it. I know it, but I don't know the answer. I feel like it's, to me, it's a beauty. Life can be a beautiful thing, a very painful thing, but it's also so beautiful when you really, really let go of all the things that are keeping you from having an intimate relationship with God. And I mean intimate, from what you say to who you hang out with, the clothes you wear, the thoughts that you think, can all be so beautiful and so spiritual, showing compassion to those who are weak. Those things. There's so many things. What's the purpose? There's so many purposes, I guess you could say.
Mandy, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that? And if so, how can they reach you?
Yes. Absolutely. I'm here to answer any questions and talk about anything that anybody wants to talk about, all the way from trauma to abuse, anything you want to know. I'd love to share how I've worked through some of these things. I am on Facebook, Mandy Welskoff. It's just my first and last name. I don't know if it'll be on here somewhere. I'm also on TikTok. What is it? Mandy Dandy 16. Instagram is Yidnam. It's my name. Mandy spelled backwards. 1609, I think. 1605 or 9. But I'm the only Mandy Welskoff, literally, anywhere.
That's cool. Mandy, I'm going to take you down a road that you're probably not used to, but is it possible that you have also seen UFOs?
Okay. Story time. Not UFOs. It's me and my best friend, and I'll see if I can tag her in this, and maybe we can share this story together. We were driving back from Coffee, Texas. Excuse me. And I'm filming. The clouds are beautiful, and all of a sudden, I see these clouds, and they're in the shape of a cylinder. And there's a lot of them, and it's right on the horizon. I mean, all of these clouds, there's no way at all that was a regular cloud. I can't believe I may still have the video. I started recording and I panned over to the left, and when I got back over to the right, I don't know, just a few seconds later, they were gone. They were gone. Now I don't want to say this because I don't know for sure. It's just too wild. I think so. Yeah. Whatever it is, there's something there. They were little. It was like we were communicating almost.
Like little orbs or balls of light.
I've seen those too. I've seen those too. My mind's gone to some really crazy places, and I don't want to be looked at as a Looney Tune, but I've seen some things. I'll have to pray on that and really kind of remember what I remembered and go into detail, but I've seen some things that are not of this world, 100%.
Do you think you have a purpose for coming back? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, my purpose for coming back. I feel like there's lots of purposes and well, a lot of areas, but it's ultimately to usher in. No, that's the wrong word. Personify deliverance, like right before your eyes. Like, this is how my life used to be. My purpose is to help you get free. Because if I can get free, anybody can get free. And let me tell you, I was bound by chains. So many. I still struggle. I'm still shaking them off. But when you really get it deep down in your soul that you are sent, we are sent here, you don't have to hold that responsibility of all that past stuff or whatever your purpose is, simply being yourself. And I don't know, there's people here that are so, their lights are so dimmed and there's, it's so dark in their life. They're missing out on so much. And just simple things that I do, for instance, like being outside and gardening and hugging trees and nature trails and being, you know, resourceful and spending time with family doing things that are not in front of the TV and outside and in nature and connecting. That's what I'm here to show. It's change. It's the change that you need. You didn't know that you needed.
Mandy, before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
Yes. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break today. You know, start brushing your teeth with your less dominant hand and look in the mirror every morning, every time you get in the mirror, and tell yourself that you love yourself. The power is in your tongue. It's in your tongue. Speak life into your life, into everybody's life.
Mandy, thank you for your message. And thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. I hope I said all the right things and shared what I needed to. This was amazing.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.